91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Mark Haney, who's out today. Luminosity is back for the third year in a row. Later this hour, we'll talk about how this music, dance, and light show is put together. Then in Focus on Technology, how news organizations are testing drones for news gathering. But first, we'll talk about Pyramid Hill Sculpture Park and Museum in Hamilton. It's been around since 1996 and features 56 sculptures from 48 artists. Joining me to talk about it, our Director of Programming and Administration, Jenny Barton, and Director of Park Operations, Sean Higgins.
Good morning.
Hi. Good afternoon, actually.
Good afternoon.
You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Happy to have you both here today.
Thank you, Marianne.
I thought we could start out. I know that you both know so much about this place, and so many people probably have never, ever heard of it. And I thought a great place to start was just to have you describe it for us and talk a little bit about how it got started. Jenny, do you want to start just describing what it's like?
Sure. It's a beautiful park on 335 acres. We have seven lakes. As you said, we have the large monumental contemporary sculptures throughout the park. We also have an ancient sculpture museum, which has over 60 sculptures that are over 1,000 years old.
It's a marriage of art and nature. Think of it as an outdoor museum. And as I tell folks, you don't necessarily even have to be an art aficionado. It's to just enjoy the oasis and enjoy the space. We have manicured areas, we have prairie areas, we have forests there that we have hiking trails through. So bring a picnic. I tell folks either go to find yourself or lose yourself in the beauty of art and nature.
So we know it is beautiful as you describe it, and it is very large and people can enjoy it. But where did the idea come from? You don't expect to find necessarily this type of big sculpture park in Hamilton, Ohio.
It is something unique, not only for our area and region, but also one of the few large sculpture parks that's something of this magnitude in the country. It was founded by a gentleman named Harry T. Wilkes. He was an attorney in Hamilton and also made some very shrewd investments that paid off very well. And initially, he had purchased about 40 acres in one area of where the park is now to build a retirement home where he was going to enjoy the second half of his life after retiring from law. And he built a unique home that he was a part of designing. It's an underground home that is built into the ridge of a hill and has a large glass pyramid letting in natural light. He wanted a lot of natural light. And as he joked, after he built a pyramid house, then the Louvre then copied his idea and had one of their own. But he, as folks would visit him, he actually had three holes of his own golf course he was working on. He would tee off from the roof of the house.
Oh, my gosh.
But as folks would come over and say, this is such a beautiful spot. Can I just buy an acre over here? You'll never even know I'm around. It occurred to him that if he didn't do something to preserve that area, it would become another development. So through his travels and love of art, he developed this idea for a sculpture park. So he was able to acquire more acreage and started purchasing sculpture and commissioning sculpture, and also put together a board of directors and then filed for corporation. So in 97, we were officially a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and that was the birth of the sculpture park.
And how did the museum is actually inside the house? Is that how that works, Jenny?
The museum is actually separate from the home. It's a Italian Roman villa, I guess. It's absolutely stunning. And it houses many of the pieces that used to be in the home.
These are ancient Greek, Roman, and Etruscan pieces. And we even have a Egyptian sarcophagus in there that Mr. Wilkes had collected through his travels and gone to auctions at Christie's and Sotheby's. So they've all been authenticated. So it's quite a collection in this 10,000 square foot indoor museum that you don't find in the area.
Now, you can't go in the home, though. This is just into the museum. Is that right?
Currently. Mm-hmm. But there are some plans to make that open to the public in the future.
So talk a little bit about the sculptures outside. Now, I'm thinking of this as the mother of a young daughter who I think if she saw them would want to climb on them. I mean, is this the type of thing where it's public art but you can't touch, or is it public art you can touch?
You can touch, but climbing is kind of
discouraged.
We highly discourage climbing on them. But you can definitely walk right up to them and touch them and experience them in a lot of ways. It's very personable, and it's a very intimate experience with the sculptures because you can go right up to them.
It's we like to be very interactive because, again, with the different pieces, there is different material that they're made from. So there is quite a difference of different tactile experiences. And that's part of, as Jenny described, the intimacy of interacting with the sculpture. It's not roped off where you look at it from a distance, but again, you're allowed to examine it from all different angles. You're allowed to touch it and get the tactile experience. And quite honestly, one of the things that I enjoy with the outdoor museum, if you think of us as an outdoor museum, is that different times of the day, you get different experiences with the sculpture. The sun is in a different location, so you'll have different highlights, and you'll have different shadows, different seasons. The park takes on an entirely different feel. Spring, as everything blooms, and of course, usually in July, everything's kind of turning brown, but we're still green right now with all the rain we've had. And then come the fall, we have the trees start to change color. The sun changes its position in the sky. And also in wintertime when everything is white, it's a different experience. So during different times of day, different seasons, it takes on a different feel.
So come more than once.
Absolutely.
If you want to see the different aspects. You mentioned that the sculptures are made of different materials. Mm-hmm. Tell me more. What are they made of?
There's different types of stone material. For instance, some would be granite. Different types of metal with aluminum, steel.
Have some wood pieces.
Right. Natural wood, carved wood, but also natural wood pieces as well, made from trunks of trees and formed into a sculpture. So that it's one specific piece that comes to mind with the trunks of trees. It's called, entitled Torrey's Comet. And the texture is very smooth. They are real trunks of trees, but also with the look, it's almost a bronze look to it because of the way the trunks were treated. But then you have a little bit of the, not thick moss, but light moss. So it gets almost a patina, which you would have in something like a bronze piece. So it almost looks metallic bronze with patina when in fact it's a totally natural piece.
You talked about the pieces being some commissioned, some purchased. Do they come on a truck and do they get loaded? Do the artists come and put them up there? How does that all work?
So it's interesting that you bring that up.
Yes.
We just acquired a new George Sugarman piece. In its final installation, it will be 150 foot by 100 foot. It was originally installed in California and it just came to us this month on 8 semi-trucks, was
it,
Sean?
About at least so, five.
In
at least five.
And yes, it came in pieces. It was a very interesting maneuvering to get the pieces off of the truck and through our beautiful entry sculpture, which is called Passage by John Henry. To get them through the passage was quite a challenge. Our guys were up to the task, though, and I would have to say it was almost an art form. Getting them
just
into the park.
Do they come with a set of instructions, you know, place tab A? I mean, how do you know how to put it together?
This one I really wish had a set of instructions because it is multiple pieces. It takes up a space. It's entitled Garden of Sculpture. So there are 20, well, when it's completed, probably 15 to 20 pieces. So this will be a unique challenge in getting this one together. Through the years, I don't have experience with all the sculpture that has come in, but each one is unique in that it provides its own challenge of how to get it here. Will it be unloaded as is? Will it be constructed on site? There's a very large piece by Michael Dunbar entitled Euclid's Cross, huge bronze piece, very circular globus-esque type piece. And it was almost like putting together Legos in a massive scale with a large crane that, you know, it was created in Chicago, shipped in pieces that are, you know, probably 10, 15, 20 feet and then constructed on site. Again, depending on what the sculpture is and how it's made, there are pieces that are made on site. For instance, a piece entitled Refuge by a group entitled Thin Air Studio, where they create sculpture out of what is found objects that are around. So they created a piece. It was a project from a few years ago where they, it's almost Swiss, almost looks like a Swiss Family Robinson type of setting where they were finding trunks of trees, they were finding driftwood, these types of things, and they lashed them together to create a space that you can go inside and out. And they created it around a tree and through a couple trees. So That is one of the pieces that will, you know, again, was created on site from what's on site, and it will then also go back to nature. So that's the idea with
so this. So that one won't last forever. If you want to see that one, you've got to
correct.
See it and, in time.
And the lashing will start to decay, and it'll all go back to nature.
Are there many like that?
No, there's just a couple like that. Again, that was a unique project. They call themselves Thin Air Studio, and they create our arts out of what it found
thin
objects
air.
In the area. Thin air. What's around in the area? Yes.
We also have an amazing repurposed piece by Shakaya Booker of New York. It's called Shh. And it's made out of recycled tires, and it's an amazing piece that, you know, you can see the steel belts, you can see all the kind of tread and that type of thing, but it still is hard to tell that it's made out of tires.
It's interesting because she created so many different textures with that. On one side, it's very smooth, almost wavy, almost like scales of a fish. On the other side, it almost looks like down feathers. The way the tires come out, and that you asked about how pieces are created or arrive. That, for instance, is on loan to us. We've had it for 2 years. This is the second year, so it will be leaving after this season. So we have pieces that were purchased. We have pieces that have been commissioned or that are site specific for the park. Early on, Mr. Wilkes commissioned John Isherwood to create a piece called Age of Stone, which has very the feel of Stonehenge. So that is a site-specific piece commissioned specifically for the park. So those are three areas, and they're different pieces that come in or may leave if they're on loan. Or one of the things we also pay a lot of attention to is the framing of the sculpture in the natural setting, the natural art framing. So sometimes we have some pieces that move because after a while, you know what, it didn't work there as well as we thought it would. This new Sugarman piece will not be moving.
Once you get it together, it stays together.
That one's staying.
Yeah, it's like a sculptural plaza. It's quite an installation.
We're talking about the Pyramid Hill Sculpture Park and Museum in Hamilton, and we will continue our discussion in just a moment. Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Mark Haney. In about 10 minutes, we'll go behind the scenes of Luminosity. It's the third year for the Music, Dance, and Light Show in Washington Park. And then in Focus on Technology, testing drones for news gathering. But first, we'll continue our discussion about Pyramid Hill Sculpture Park and Museum in Hamilton. My guests are Director of Programming and Administration, Jenny Barton, and Director of Park Operations, Sean Higgins. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call in at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We did have an email from Carolina who says, wants to know if you visited the grounds for Sculpture Park in Hamilton, New Jersey, and can you compare?
I have heard about it because, again, it's in Hamilton, New Jersey, but I have not been there myself. I know there's some large parks, for instance, Storm King in New York, very famous, Frederick Meyer Gardens in Michigan. I've been to a couple different sculpture parks, one in South Carolina, which I want to think is called, or it's in Greenbrier, I don't remember, but I was with the park years ago, then I left, and I'm back now. So there's some places that I want to get to as we progress. And Jenny is brings a lot of the art experience to what we're doing at Pyramid Hill. So we're going to be looking around at what different people are doing.
Yes, and I just moved here from the East Coast, transplant from Delaware. So I have been to the grounds for sculpture, and they're amazing as well. I think that our sculpture park stands out in the diversity of our collection because we combined the ancient sculpture museum along with the contemporary monumental sculptures from the 1960s through today. And I think that's a unique juxtaposition that we have, as well as the size of our grounds are just And the natural setting is just stunning.
You've talked a lot about the size of the park and how large it is and spread out it is. And for some people, that's a great walk. And for others, maybe they're just not able to make that kind of walk. Is it something you have to walk through? Can you drive through as well? How does that work?
Yes, you can drive through with your vehicle. But we have a third method that we like to suggest, and it's called art carts. It's a golf cart that you can rent out and go up to the sculptures that way. So you have a little bit more of a personal experience while driving around the park.
So I would assume if you drive, you're sort of on a paved path, but if you're in these art carts, you can sort of go right up to the artwork.
Yeah, we have special paths made for the art carts that will go directly up to the sculpture.
Talk about some of the events that you have for kids. I know that you say this is a great place to bring kids, and I think kids and art, sometimes that works really well, and sometimes they're not quite sure what they're looking at or how they do that. What do you offer for kids?
Well, what we have going on right now, as a matter of fact, we have a couple different programs during the summer. One that we do annually is the Summer Series for Kids, and we do that every Wednesday from June through the end of July. And that's edutainment kind of programs, a little bit of everything, some art, some nature, some fun. So those happen every Wednesday, and those are free programs that we offer to anyone who is in the park. And we also have something new this year we're very excited about. We collaborated with Fitton Center for Creative Arts in Hamilton and the Great Miami Valley YMCA for a program. This is our first day-long or full-day, week-long camps entitled Art Around Town. So they meet at the Y, they spend the morning at the Fitton Center, and then they come over to Pyramid Hill for the afternoon. We have programs. We have a combined theme but different programs in each area. So this was a new collaboration we're very excited about to work with those organizations.
And in September, you've got the art fair?
That's correct. We have the 13th annual Pyramid Hill Art Fair. We currently have about 60 artists signed up, and we're still collecting applications. It's on Saturday, September 26th and Sunday, September 27th, and it happens throughout the park as well.
Mm-hmm. So with all these programs and so many different events going on, is there a lot changing month to month and year to year and at the park that people want to see different things?
Yes, right now a primary focus we have is coming up with new ways to engage the community to get them to return repeatedly to the park. One of the things that we did was change the hours. We're now open until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday to allow those who work a traditional 9-to-5 schedule to come and use the park after work. We are a dog-friendly park, so people come out and they like to walk amongst the nature and walk amongst the art with their animals or just for exercise. We also have, starting in September, we're going to have a changing exhibition series in the museum of local and regional current artists that are making work, so that there's a reason to come back on the second Friday of every month for the exhibition openings to see what local and regional artists are doing. And I also think that that's going to be an interesting combination there in the museum with the ancient sculpture, is to have pieces that are being made right now. So I think that that's going to be a nice series as well.
Do you have guides or docents there available, or do people just sort of, are they on their own? Do you have things labeled? I mean, how do people know what they're looking at?
We do have docents in the museum that will walk around with you in the Ancient Sculpture Museum. And then throughout the park, you receive a map which has photographs and all of the artists listed. We also have labels on most of the sculptures in the park.
We also have now one of our new features. We have a mobile app. So if you're your Apple phone, your Android, you can download a mobile app which shows a map of the park. Well, it's on Google Maps. And where all the pieces are, and for each piece, it has a picture, has text, and audio from the artist or a representative of the artist if they've passed away. So that's a new, interesting way to not necessarily get around, but get the information about the sculpture and get the artist's impression as well. So I always say the idea with Pyramid Hill is to explore. It's find an area, drive to that area, walk that area, explore that area, get to another area, drive that area. As far as walking, you could walk the whole park, but there's a lot of hills. So it's a little more of a challenge than people realize. It was carved out by glaciers. So there's a lot of hills, but we have hiking trails that go through the park and through some of the woods that we left natural.
You talk about 56 sculptures, 48 artists. Do you anticipate that, you'd say, new artists coming in? Is that going to just get bigger and bigger, or do you think it's going to be, you know, as some art comes and goes, it'll be about that size? What's the goal?
Well, I think that one of the things we want to do, again, as Jenny talked about, being relatable with the audience, is maybe having more exhibitions, something that would be in the park during the season. So being able to create these exhibitions.
Yeah, I think it's important to have those changing pieces so that the park is always evolving and always providing people a reason to come back and see what's new.
And you apparently have a very popular Christmas program, is that right?
Yes.
Holiday show?
Holiday Lights on the Hill is a drive-through holiday lights display that we take a lot of pride in. It's a two-mile round-trip drive through. It's a drive-through display. And we start decorating right after the art fair, the end of September. We start decorating through October and November for starting the week before Thanksgiving. So this brings a lot of folks into the park, even though it's at night. That brings awareness to the park, but it also helps us with our funds during a slower time of the year when not everybody is getting out to the park. But it's we take a lot of pride because we have beautiful areas to decorate. We love to say that we're really creating these lighting effects. We have trees, the lakes, the sculpture, and so forth. So much to work with. So we're not just sticking out figurines. We're actually decorating, creating scenes.
Thank you both so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
We've been talking about Pyramid Hill Sculpture Park and Museum in Hamilton with Director of Programming and Administration, Jenny Barton, and Director of Park Operations, Sean Higgins. In just a moment, we'll hear about this year's Luminosity, and then in Focus on Technology, testing on drones for news gathering.